This is Positive Outcomes, a podcast for the P&O community. And I just want to thank you guys for joining today. My name is Jeff Newell. I'm the clinical sales manager here at Ortoped. Today, we're really lucky to have Sam Hale from PhilHour here to discuss the importance of prosthetic patients of being active. Okay. So I've known Sam for quite a long time. Gosh, I think I've known you since you joined PhilHour. When was that? 2013.
Yes, sir. We did some traveling across Canada.
Well, we did. And you enjoyed it too, didn't you?
Did, absolutely.
Yeah. So anyways, Sam's been a certified prosthetist for over 15 years. So he's seen a lot. He has a huge ton of experience. And what Sam does at PhilHour now, he's the director of product development and education there. All right, well, let's get right into it. Sam, again, thanks for joining us today on this podcast. So our main thrust today is we're going to look at the importance of having a patient active, okay? Mm-hmm. An amputee active. You know, it's pretty easy. To just sit here for a second and think, well, you know, that's pretty obvious. Why are you even talking about it? But you know what? At the end of the day, it's not that obvious. You know, I know patients can get into the rut of, well, you know, it's just easier for me to sit here and watch TV. And as you and I well know, sometimes on a Saturday, it's nice just to sit on the couch and not bother getting up ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyways, let's take a look at this from about a 30,000 foot level. And why is it important to promote a prosthetic patient to be active?
There's a few reasons for it. And some of the basic ones are simple. It's the same reason that we all say active. It's as we get older, we want to maintain our muscle mass. For an amputee, this is even more important because it requires so much more energy for that amputee to walk that if they're losing that muscle mass, it's just going to make it that much harder to be successful. Also, our bone mass or bone strength has so much to do with how active we stay. And we look at studies relating to older individuals, whether they have a prosthesis or not, those things really contribute to them remaining active and independent well into older years. And as we know, most of our amputees are, I mean, they do tend to be an older patient group. And a lot of them are coming out of a condition where they are in, you know, they've lost a limb due to health causes for many of them. So muscle mass, our bone condition, bone strength, and our balance is so important to maintain if that patient's going to be successful in walking on essentially. And I like this description one patient gave me, and it was a bilateral patient, so it made even more sense. But he said, it's like walking on stilts, and it really can be. And so what we need to help these folks remember is just how important it is to maintain these things and allow them to really balance on top of something that is not, you know, they're not actively moving mm-hmm. That foot back and forth to control their center of mass. We're going to need to be able to keep really good control through keeping up those things, the muscle mass, the bone strength, and the balance of the patient by them being active and out there. So that's kind of the first one. And that's has mostly to do with, you know, the structure of the body. Then there's also maintaining just a healthy lifestyle that promotes vascular health. So many of them have lost a limb due to vascular issues. And if we look at guidance from the World Health Organization or the CDC, they have very specific, you know, recommendations for patients in order to maintain good cardiovascular health so that we can live a longer life and that we don't run into these big health problems that keep us from remaining independent, able to do the traveling and the fun things that amputees want to be able to do. And we're not just talking about, hey, the guys want to go out and run. We're talking about the guy who wants to be able to maintain the ability to go out in his backyard and work in the yard and to work in the garden or to walk around a mall during the day or to play with grandkids. And those things are just as important when we talk about activity. We've got to maintain doing these things so that we can continue to do the fun things we're doing. Other big one is this helps us maintain a healthy weight. And if we look at key success factors for use of a prosthetic device, weight is such a big one, especially as the amputations get more proximal. You're going to run into problems where I've got so much soft tissue around what's left of the bone, it becomes very hard for the patient to control the leg. So it just compounds the problem where I've got to carry a lot more weight. and then I have a prosthesis, it's very hard to keep fit, regardless of the number of visits it's going to take for the patient to go back and get the socket adjusted for weight changes. So all of these things are very well controlled by maintaining a high level of patient activity. And so those were just kind of the things that stuck out to me as the biggest things I've seen personally in practice and with the patients we work with, and then in basic research that I've seen.
Okay. And I think this has really come to light just in our situation that we're in now, mm-hmm. you know, with COVID going on. You know, you're stuck in your house. I'm stuck in my house. We're just itching to get out. So I can well imagine what an amputee is feeling. You know, I want to get out there and do it, but can I do it? I want to do it. You know, so I think it really has come to light just with our situation. I think we can see it more through an amputee's eyes now than we ever had.
Absolutely. I it is so much harder. But then at the same time, I've heard so many people getting out and finding the great outdoors again, and having remained in good shape and keeping good balance is letting people, you know, really get to explore those things again. So it's a great time for those folks to look at being active and outdoors in a safe place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about you, Sam, but I'm having a real hard time getting out of my stretchy pants these days.
I have gained my COVID-19.
I haven't. I'm glad I'm just not presenting in front of people where I have to dress up right now.
Indeed.
Anyways, as a clinician, when I look at patients, you know, you see the physical hurdles that you have to overcome, and you can look at that and you can say, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to fit this patient. This is what I'm going to use. These are the components we're going to use. But what about the mental aspect? What are we dealing with here?
This is, and I think early on in my career, I really didn't understand this very well. And though I can say that my professors told us this, but it didn't really register until we were, you know, dealing with it day to day, is the prosthetist really does have to be ready to deal with psychological issues. And it's like dealing with somebody who's lost a close relative or an immediate family member. They go through kind of the same stages, and you really have to be prepared to help them through that. You know, being prepared as a prosthetist to recommend professional help for these folks. I love something that I've seen in a couple of other countries, and then there's a few clinics here in the U.S. that are doing this, where they have an approach where they really look at the entire patient, and they include some mental health care in with their patient care plan. Where they're having those patients evaluated, and there's specifically a couple of upper limb clinics that do this. And I think it really makes a big difference for these patients, because then it's somebody who's helping them. It's like, I love to play the part of other healthcare workers, just because it's like, hey, I've seen this before, let me help you through this. But there also is a great place as a prosthetist to recognize these folks may need some more help. Mm-hmm. The other thing as a clinician that I'm really thinking about when these people come in is what does their social support look like? Who is at home with them? Who's going to be helping them through this, whether it's physically, emotionally, financially, and how is that relationship currently going? I like to ask, I definitely did this a lot in practice, is if I had any questions about where that person was mentally, it was, hey, do you have any family members who can come with you to these appointments? Part of that was to help that patient remember, because they got a lot going on. They have a lot of things they have to try to remember about this new thing you're handing them. Mm-hmm. For us, it's very simple. I hand out a number of these things every day. I understand how the thing works, and it seems very obvious to me. But a lot of these patients, you know, with everything they're going on, sometimes some heavy medication they're on, it's great to have family there for that side of the sport. But then to help them make major decisions and to encourage them, because they're going to need that encouragement when they get home to get back out and to get active again. And one of the things I always ask those patients before we even started is, can I talk with your family members about how to help you? Do you give me permission to go through this with them? And I know they're going to sign off on this, but I really want to talk to the patient about it and make sure that patient's comfortable with me going to that to the family member and frankly, asking for their help. It makes a big difference, really can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can remember, and I've seen many cases where we've had patients come in and they've booked an appointment, come in to see us. And so why are you here? Well, I just wanted to talk to someone. I wanted to talk to someone who understands what I'm going through, because people don't understand what I'm dealing with. They don't see what I have to deal with now on a daily basis. And I know you guys understand. So that's why I'm here. you know, or they'll say, well, I have a, my the distal end of my socket's hurting. Okay, well, let's take a look. And you see what's going on. And there's actually nothing going on. It's just they want to talk, you know. Sometimes that has to be our role, I think. I think it's just, okay, let's listen for 15, 20 minutes. What do you want to say? What do you want to talk about? I'm here to listen, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, you're so right. It's not just fitting a prosthesis. Mm-hmm. That's just one aspect of being a clinician.
For sure. And, you know, that reminds me of one of the things. So I've been at two clinics where we had this, and it was really great for patients. Now, granted, these folks probably were not as productive as they could have been from the business side. But having an amputee on our staff, in one case, that person was specifically there as a support for patients. And for one of them, it was, you know, a nurse who had lost a limb, and she came to work for us. And she was really great at going, you know, really helping them understand not just how to deal with the, hey, how many socks are you wearing, but how do you deal with the daily things that are now a real challenge? And so it was great for us in our clinic to be able to offer support that, as a clinician who's not missing any body parts at this point, mm-hmm. I really couldn't help them with at the level where I could meet them at that level of empathy where I've dealt with it myself. So it was great to have somebody around. Whether it's somebody who's full-time staff or somebody you can call on the phone and say, hey, I got a patient who's really struggling. Can you come in and talk? I've got one of those patients here who, at the drop of a hat, come over and talk with another patient who's having some issues.
Sure, and that's great to be able to rely on that and have that support, because I think that can make the world a difference, mm-hmm. for sure. Okay, what are some of the activities you've seen, the patients that you've seen at your clinics that you've now put on a ball of fill our foot? And what are they out now able to do, and how has that changed their life that now, you know, they see, oh, I'm able to do this now, which I couldn't do before.
It's actually been a whole lot of fun. As a clinician, I did not realize how much went into the design and very specific design of feet and in relation to their function. I was talking with a student about this yesterday, and she asked me, well, should older patients just get, you know, lesser functioning products? And I was like, well, no. We design every product for a specific function, and we were looking for the right function for that patient. And every foot we have, and I think this is one of the most aggravating things about the L-code system, is that we have three different feet that fall into the same, well, actually four now, that fall into the same code, and every one of them is made for a different function. And we've seen the full range. And now the one thing that I will say, and this has been kind of fun too, is as I've come to understand really analyzing not just the function that I project onto a patient, but the function that a patient is actually interested in, it's kind of opened my eyes to trying things with patients that I wouldn't expect. A great example, a patient who actually became a really good friend, treated him some, he drove up to see me here, and we worked for years together because he loved to play billiards. And you know, we fit feet specifically for him to be able to lean in and play billiards. They had to be super flexible. And he got here and we were trying these new posterior mounted feet. This is just when we were starting out on that trail. And I looked at this guy and he's in good shape, been an amputee for nearly 40 years, but he was in excellent shape. And I said, hey, have you ever thought about running? And he was like, you know, I'd love to, but nobody's really even asked. Nobody's ever even tried it. And I really didn't think I could. So I went back and we fit this guy with one of the very first prototype posterior mount feet we made. And he loved it. The guy went from, you know, he did some yoga and that was his basic workout, to a guy that would go out and run, you know, 2 or 3 miles a day, 4 or 5 days a week. The guy lost weight. The guy got off blood pressure medication. You know, every time I talked to him, you could tell the difference because I gave him some part of life back that he, you know, in 40 years hadn't been able to see. So, and just as a prosthetist, really thinking through whether or not I'm projecting my thoughts on what a patient can and can't do in a way that limits them is something that I really had to reevaluate in how I look at the average person, because we're able to restore function now in ways that, you know, as a clinician early on, I didn't think I could do. So, or I didn't think I could be a partner with that patient in, because there is so much of that depends on the mindset of that patient.
For sure. You know, and we can sit here and talk about different feed and different components all day long. Yeah. And until you see that patient on it, there's where you see the wow factor. There's where you see the change. That's where your jaw drops and goes, there's what I wanted to see, you know?
Absolutely. There's yeah. There's nothing like getting a hug from somebody the first time they run again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first time that happens to you, it's like, okay, all the paperwork and the mess and the psychological stuff that goes into being in this position, it's worth it. For those moments, those are the moments, especially, and I don't mean to pound on adults, but especially when it's a little kid, it's yeah. like, okay, I'm still good. I enjoy this.
Yeah, exactly. This is why I became a prosthetist.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. What's one of the biggest hurdles you see, or one of the hurdles that you see in order to get patients to be active? What's the thing that you need to get them over to get them to be active?
Okay, so there's a couple things. The first one is definitely that mental health question. And you're going to have patients that come in on both ends of the spectrum. You got the patients who come in and life is over, at least from that is their perspective when they come into you. And you've got to figure out how to deal with that and encourage them and showing them that life is not over. And there's great ways to do that, whether it is taking them to, and our company has this great Instagram page for one of our high-end fee, and it shows that patients can still do things. And then you have patients on the other end of the spectrum that are like, you have to convince them to not take the test socket and brand new foot to the gym and do leg presses their first day out with it. Yeah, so you got the full spectrum there. Certainly the ones who think life is over is going to be the hardest ones. And again, this is where you really need to understand where the line comes, where you're going to say, hey, you should probably talk to somebody about this, because there's some issues with depression that we can run into that are going to keep that person down. And it is a chemical deal. And that's outside of our scope of practice. And we need to understand that there's a good time to really recommend that and say, hey, let's look at some help there. At the same time, helping them understand that people do some pretty incredible things as amputees. Now, you don't want to err so far on that we establish unreal expectations, which I see this a lot too. And you know this patient, if you've treated patients, it's you, the guy that comes in and says, hey, yeah, I want to go run. Get me one of those blade things. And you ask him when they ran last, and it's never.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's find an interim goal. Let's set some very achievable goals early on. And I think that's a big part of this is working with these patients to set achievable goals. And not all of those are full weight bearing activities, because a lot of these people, I mean, you've got the people who've lost limbs due to diabetes. And sometimes we have some weight issues that go with that, that make wearing a prosthesis and doing long distance things very hard. You also have patients who have undergone a pretty significant trauma and have been laying in a bed for 9 months. They probably are in a very similar condition. Weight-bearing stuff can be very intimidating and almost defeating right off. So setting some goals where it's, okay, let's talk about going and doing some, let's talk about doing some things in the pool. Let's talk about recumbent bikes. Let's talk about things that you can work up to what you want to get back to in a way that is safe on your prosthesis, safe for the residual limb that we don't want to amputate any higher. Let's do some really smart things to set achievable goals. Let's lay those out. And here's the thing. Our payers are going to start asking for us to do this anyway. It's called outcomes. Let's set some achievable outcome goals and say, hey, let's do this based on where you are right now. We're going to use these components. Let's look at where we can get you in the future. If you can, and this is one of the tricks we say with, let's say that we have a patient that comes in and they're wanting to do the running blade thing. We know that a patient who can do 10 prosthetic side lunges can actually go and probably control a running blade. Short of that, they're actually going to have a lot of trouble. So we would even say, hey, let's set this goal of when you come back and you can show you can do this, let's test one. Let's look at this. That's why we have 60-day trials on things. Mm-hmm. If the patient's eligible, let's give them the options.
Okay, good. So that was a good segue into my last little segment that I want to talk to you about is, what are some of the tips that you could give practitioners to give to them to get their patients that really want to, they want to be active, and how are they going to succeed in being active?
So really it does come down to, it's this thing where we establish these goals that are very specific to that person's particular presentation at the time when they come in. How weak are they? This is why, as a clinician, I've got to know how to do my manual muscle testing. I've got to understand also the factors with my prosthesis that can really hamper this.
So I've got to make sure that I'm maintaining good fit. So one of the things that you're going to run into as a clinician with patients who want to be active, is you're going to get a lot of changes in fit pretty quickly if that patient becomes, or as they start to move that way, especially you start to get some weight changes, you can very quickly impede the progress by having a socket that's got some fit issues. So make sure that you're addressing those. But up front, you want to get a really good idea where this patient is. So know your manual muscle testing, go in, let's check their strength on the prosthetic side, let's check the joints for range of motion, especially if we're talking above the knee. You have got to early on, and really for both sides, we've got to look at range of motion, we've got to be stretching these patients out. If you can get them in the hospital and stop that nurse from putting the pillow under their leg and creating flexion contractures, we've got to do this early on. So there's a part of this that we're doing before that patient is even in my office getting casted. Once they're there, I'm going to do a really good evaluation, say, this is where we are, get a really good idea of where their goals are. And let's pick some very specific intervals between where we are and where we want to be. Let's make them achievable. I had a patient ask me, it's like, hey, I want to ride a motorcycle again. And he came in bilateral above elbow. And you're going, how about let's start with independently feeding ourselves. We'll throw riding a motorcycle way out there at the end and say, hey, like maybe one day we got to really do some thinking on that. But let's set some very realistic goals. Let's get early success. And I think that is the key with these patients is early success. And then with those patients who are really struggling, this is where you bring in those really successful patients that you do have. Those patients who we talked about a little bit earlier. So I've got those patients who are really struggling. They think life is over. And then the ones who are like out to prove that they're just as good as they ever were, if not better. Sometimes you got to be careful. You got to have somebody who understands that they're coming in and talking to a patient who's gone through a lot. A lot of these folks who are overachievers really will understand that. But you don't want to pick the one who's going to come in and say, this is no big deal. Don't you worry about it. Don't be down in the... No, you want the one that's going to come in and say, look, you can really do this. Let me show you how. There's great amputees out there. There's good resources for that. Amputee Coalition is a fantastic resource for it. Typically, you can find local patients if you don't have necessarily the ones that are there within your practice yet, or ones you're familiar with. Certainly great as soon as you can to start identifying patients who might be that patient who can help others. And then talk to those patients ahead of time and say, hey, look, I may invite you back in because we have these patients who really are struggling. You're doing well. Would you mind being a resource for these folks? I think that's one of the best ones, because then they're dealing with somebody who they can see has been successful, and they can ask those questions. They may either be uncomfortable asking you, or they may not even know to ask until they see that person. And I think that's a big part of it, is that support that you're able to offer as a clinician, be able to offer that additional support for the patient.
Okay, great. Well, with that, I think we'll wrap it up. I'd like to thank our listeners for joining us for this episode. I really enjoyed talking to you, as I always do, Sam. I'll look forward to be able to see you face-to-face one of these days, if we can. hopefully in the near future. Again, Sam Hale, a clinician with Philhour. Great guy, great experiences. Nice sharing them with us today. Of course, if you guys out there have any topics of future episodes, you can email us at positiveoutcomes@ortoped.ca. New episodes are released every other Tuesday at positiveoutcomes.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes are released every other Thursday at positiveoutcomes.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. Positive Outcomes is a production of Ortoped ULC in conjunction with our partners, produced by Jonathan Stone, Frederick Solvay, and hosted by myself, Jeff Newell, and Simon Beals. Thanks again, Sam. Really appreciate your time, and now get back to work.
Thanks, Jeff. It was great to talk to you again.
Okay, take care. Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.